Welcome to Breaking Point, Chapter 3, Energy Collapse. The world's economic activity is powered by energy, and without affordable, abundant energy, the world that we know, with all the conveniences of abundant food, easy transportation, and readily available consumer goods, will simply cease to exist. Modern civilization cannot function without reliable, scalable, readily available energy. And while fusion energy is the future, today's reliable energy source is found in fossil fuels, not solar, wind, or other green solutions that simply do not work in cold weather, cloudy weather, calm weather, or night. Yet in a desperate effort to go green, the nations of the world are dismantling the energy infrastructure that currently powers human civilization. What will be the implications of such a dramatic, poorly conceived demolition of our energy infrastructure? We are about to find out.
What better way to hit people than through food shortages and skyrocketing energy prices one way or the other, or shortages, rolling blackouts, whatever they're gonna do? I mean, look, this is gonna happen. There is just no doubt in my mind at all that we are leading towards a global event that is going to rattle people beyond their ability to cope. And that's the situation. That's what they want to do. They want more people dependent on the system, as many as they possibly can get at this time. I would be willing to bet that, unfortunately, the people that are well off and rich understand the situation, and they're probably ready for it. Maybe not all of them, but I would say for the most part. But the people that are going to be taken by surprise are whoever's left here in the middle class with these food shortages, which are going to come, no doubt about it. Maybe a lot worse than just shortages here. Energy crisis, no doubt about it. And it's going to hit simultaneously.
It's going to get really bad. And not because we don't have enough energy available. It's because we don't have the right people putting the energy out there. And because we don't have the right infrastructure to make sure that everybody gets it.
I'm not sure how many people understand how much a role energy plays in agriculture, but it's very big. And so we're having an energy crisis in the same way we're having a food crisis. And the energy crisis might extend the food crisis by making it harder to get fertilizer, because a lot of fertilizer is made from natural gas, which is much harder to get and much more expensive now. And so all of this could extend our food shortages into the next couple of years. You know, it's not going to end this year, and it might not end next year, and it might go on further than that. So we can't know for sure how it all plays out, but there's a good chance that the whole food thing is going to be front page news and a source of conflict for several years to come, at least.
Modern agricultural practices are optimized for producing large amounts of food crops through the use of hydrocarbon-derived fertilizers. Through the Haber-Bosch process, atmospheric nitrogen is combined with hydrogen from natural gas to create NH3, or ammonia. This key molecule is the pillar of nitrogen-based fertilizers such as urea, calcium nitrate, and ammonium nitrate. Importantly, these nitrogen-based fertilizers produce the food that feeds literally half the people on planet Earth. Without the hydrocarbons and synthetic fertilizers, half the current human population would die.
Because of the way we have industrialized our farming, the way we've tilled things, the way we have over-chemicalized things, we have destroyed our very soils, and we have made it impossible for them to capture CO2, which makes them rich. I mean, CO2 is how plants thrive. It's their oxygen. We give them our breath, and they take it in as food for them, and they give back oxygen to us, which is our food to breathe and to work. And it's an incredible symbiotic relationship. The problem is our soils have been destroyed. And so they're meant to be carbon rich, and they're meant to be teeming with life in there. But because of what we've done to the soils, they can no longer do that. So we do have a green problem. There is a CO2 problem in the world, but it's not because it's not a valuable resource for all of us. It's just in the wrong place.
If we could send billions of dollars to Ukraine, can we not give our own farmers subsidized fuel at $1 a gallon for diesel so they can continue to grow the food? What are we wasting all this money popping off expensive weapons over in Ukraine, and our own farmers don't have enough diesel, so they're leaving their tractors idle in the fields? huge disconnect on this. And where are the fertilizer overages going to come from? If we already had a deficit this year and it looks like it's going to be worse next year, a lot of things with natural gas not flowing correctly, a lot of chemical plants on fire, a lot of things disrupted and it looks like destroyed on purpose. Well, the next year's fertilizer shortages are going to be more amplified than they are this year.
There's two things that are the most important in the human experience, and that is energy and food. And energy is the most important because without energy, you can't even grow food. So one thing that has been brought up to the fore in a long time is that under modern agricultural conditions, it takes 10 calories of energy to produce 1 calorie of food. Think about that for a minute. If we have an energy cliff, and we do, and energy is becoming more and more scarce, it naturally follows that food will cost more and more. So many factors, and so the food supply is precarious at best. So I think we're going to see a real squeeze on the general populace because of both gas and food.
What happens when the world's energy infrastructure is dismantled? What happens when transportation is limited, fertilizer becomes scarce, and everyday foods become unaffordable? This process is already underway, and it will lead to depopulation and collapse of the economic conditions we once believed to be normal.
As you're looking at preparing your life for how are you going to be living without cheap gasoline, and what does that look like? Another question that comes from that is like, how far out of town do you want to be located if you're looking at leaving and living in the countryside? In Europe, which during the Middle Ages, we have a really good example of that historically, markets were separated by 14 miles, and that was the maximum amount. And that's because the 7-mile mark, which was the center of it, was the longest distance. And that's the amount of time a person can be able to walk into town, have a few hours to transact business, maybe do some lunch, and then get back home before dark. And you got to remember, those people were in a lot better shape than we are, but that will give you a sense of what it really looks like to live without fossil fuels.
Myself and so many others, for years, we've been using the term the perfect storm. And it's here, but it's going to get a whole lot worse. Because what we're facing, people don't understand. I mean, you just look at gas prices. People think, oh, gas prices have risen. It's a temporary thing. It's not a temporary thing. The more energy you use, the higher your GDP tends to be. You know, for decades, the world has been able to increase the amount of energy that it produces for many, many decades. And this fueled really the post-World War II economic boom.
So the oil played a role in exploding the population on the planet because suddenly we had access to this energy that was freed up to produce things for us. And now we have food delivered just in time by diesel trucks, et cetera. And so this is a real overlook when it comes to those that are saying, man, we just got to stop this oil. It's poisoning. It's killing the planet. The CO2 is going to destroy us all. Actually, it's the oil that has made it possible for all of us to be here at this point, the billions that are here. So for those who think that if we just stop the oil, we'd be great, no, we'd be dead, most of us. And I think the globalists know that, and they're counting on eliminating or culling a lot of us via converting us to nice sounding green energy. Non-polluting, as they'll say, green energy. But you cannot produce, you cannot do what oil does and natural gas does at this point until we find the technology to stick a pole in the ground like Tesla did. But for right now, if we eliminate oil altogether or eliminate the oil-based economies of the world, millions, if not billions, of people will die.
Humanity's heavy reliance on energy provides nefarious global actors with the opportunity to weaponize energy scarcity as a means of control. By dismantling existing energy infrastructure, globalists can make food, farming, consumer goods, and personal mobility increasingly expensive, driving the population into hyper-surveilled cities and carbon footprint scoring for everything from hot water to groceries. Engineered scarcity leads to crisis, and they never let a crisis go to waste.
Basically, every form of economic activity that we engage in requires energy. But now if we are reaching a peak in terms of what we can produce, well, there's only going to be so much energy to grow, to go around. There's only going to be so much energy to go around. Meanwhile, the global population continues to increase. Meanwhile, you know, poor countries are getting more connected to the internet. They're industrializing more, and all over the world, power consumption has been going up and up and up. But now there's only going to be so much power to go around. And already this year, there's been long stretches when, in terms of oil, the amount of oil the world has produced has actually been exceeded by the amount of oil the world has been consuming. So we're getting to a point where what we're consuming is actually outpacing and outstripping what we're able to produce. The era of cheap energy, which fueled so much of our economic boom in the post-World War II era, that's over. And now we're looking into a future of energy scarcity, and there's going to be global struggle over the energy that remains.
I don't even want to say our elected leaders, because I think they've been more selected, but the folks that are, quote, in charge, they have duped the world to believe that we live in a place of scarcity, where it really is having to fight for limited resources, and it's always like we're running out. That's how they create the illusion of wealth behind what they control. They squeeze the system. They hold back technologies and capacities that really would demonstrate the abundance that this planet was created to express. And then they control, primarily because of greed and the power that they derive from it, they control and they force us into a place of scarcity.
I used to live in an area where we heated our home with wood, and in the fall we would go, you know, cut down trees and chop up firewood that would we'd use in the wood burning stove all winter to keep the house warm. And I realized pretty quickly, doing that work with an axe or a handsaw, that yeah, I would be willing to pay $200 a gallon for gasoline, because a chainsaw is just so much more efficient. I think we've all gotten really, really spoiled with the energy density that's contained in these fossil fuels, and what life is going to be like without that high access to that high energy level. It's going to be a very rude awakening.
It's 20 and 30 below zero here in Iowa, and we were at 0 degrees. I turned off the heat for 3 days, and the house didn't get below 60. We have an Irish cook stove, and we can cook, and we can keep the house from freezing, and we did okay. 3 days. So I think we're okay. And in those regards. Now, that's not everything. This is not going to be easy if we lose our power. It's a big deal. And there's a war on power, like there's a war on food, although this has been going on longer. It turns out Iowa used to be an energy positive state. We used to have coal plants, hydroelectric plants. We shipped electricity all over. Now they're warning us we might have blackouts. And why is that? Because they overregulated everything. They overregulated our chicken processors, our dairies out of business, our meat markets out of business, and unbeknownst to me until this year, they regulated out of business 12 coal plants in the state. So this is the state, this is the federal government and our state going along with it.
As the hydrocarbon energy infrastructure is being swiftly dismantled, we are being ordered by globalist authorities to embrace solar, wind, and electric cars as an instant replacement for combustion engines and coal-fired power plants. But these solutions aren't reliable, and they don't scale. Solar only works during peak daylight hours, when the skies are clear. Wind turbines freeze in the winter or catch fire after being struck by lightning. And electric cars not only fail to perform in the winter, they take hours to charge and are built using rare elements that simply don't exist in the global supply chain in sufficient quantities to build the number of cars and trucks needed to replace combustion engine vehicles. The transition to green, in other words, is being forced upon the world long before green solutions can demonstrate practicality.
Electric cars are probably the future of transportation, but they've got a lot of hurdles in front of them. There are a lot of things that have to be solved before that can happen. And so is solar panels in the energy market. They are going to be very important to global energy going forward. But again, you know, we're not there yet. So the idea that we can switch to electric cars and solve our expensive gasoline problem doesn't make any sense. That's a longer term thing. And before we can do that in any event, we have to find enough of the things that go into electric cars and solar panels to be able to make all of those things that we need to do this transition.
So not only are these electric vehicles killing people by blowing up and running them into walls, they're powered by lithium, so it's not a surprise. It's a very unstable type of battery. They take forever to charge. That's if you don't have a line to wait in, and if you can find a place to charge them. Let's pray that you're not fleeing from disaster while you're trying to charge this thing up, or it runs out of, you know, fuel on you or energy on you. That's not an issue that you see with tried and true, good, cheap, old technology that we have with gasoline-based cars. Now, they're not perfect. I think they're suppressing better technology out there. The guy that invented the water car was killed by the Pentagon, died in his brother's arms. But there are better, cheaper, and more efficient options than energy-based cars like Teslas or the other electric vehicles.
It looks like kind of a lock that because the energy system is so messed up right now that we're gonna have to go back to nuclear in a lot of cases. A lot of the guys who shut down nuclear plants like Germany are gonna have to reopen them and maybe even build more. And so uranium, you know, there's gonna be a big demand for uranium beyond what the current mining industry produces. So that's another hard asset investment that might do really well in the kind of mess that we've got coming. But just in general terms, you know, as much fun as electric cars are to drive and as cool as solar energy is, they're not gonna solve our problems this year. You know, it's not so bad in the US because we're mostly energy self-sufficient. So we see higher gas prices, gasoline prices, and higher heating oil prices and things like that. But it's in the category of a big annoyance rather than life-threatening. But in other parts of the world, it's much more serious. And you know, interestingly, Germany is one of the places where it's really coming to a head, where they cut deals with Russia, through which Russia would supply them with most of their natural gas. But then at the same time, Germany participated with NATO in the expansion of NATO's borders to other countries that were right next to Russia. And Russia all along, they perceive a loss of defensible borders as an existential threat. And having a hostile military alliance right up against them is something they would defend against. You know, they would fight to stop that from happening. But we didn't listen. And Germany didn't restrain the US in NATO expansion, and finally Russia snapped and invaded the Ukraine. The West sanctioned Russia, and Germany lost that Russian gas supply. So now gas in Germany is several times higher than it is in the US, even though it's at record levels in the US. So a lot of German industry cannot function with energy that's this expensive.
They're not going to be satisfied with anything less than your life. So America's energy crisis is all of our crisis, because everything runs on energy, including the flow of information. So I think it's problematic, and it's hastening so fast. I mean, now, whether it's Spain saying you can't have air conditioning or you got to keep your thermostat, Germany saying, well, I guess you're done with hot water showers, take a cold water shower. Well, that worked for the area of the Vikings, and obviously they were hardier people. But the bottom line is it's going to dawn all of a sudden on how completely void of freedom, liberty, choices, selection, the ability to stay warm, to stay dry. And this is all part of the mass culling.
This is going to create various kinds of crises around the world, because if you don't have enough energy to do the basic things that your society depends upon, and you don't have that society anymore. And a lot of countries are looking at exactly that. If we don't immediately solve the Russia-Ukraine war, get those guys back into the global trading system, and do everything else that is necessary to manage the energy economy going forward.
The simple, inescapable truth is that the world's energy infrastructure is being deliberately dismantled, motivated by the desire to cause famine, scarcity, economic collapse, and global poverty and depopulation. The green justification is just the cover story for global genocide. And those pushing the green agenda are really pushing a global famine holocaust that would devastate human civilization at a scale only matched by ancient comet impacts or the Great Flood. This is a decivilization agenda. The war on energy is a war being waged against humanity. If we don't stop it, we will soon cross the threshold of the breaking point. Coming up next on the Breaking Point docuseries on Brighteon.com, vaccines. Just how many people have they killed or disabled? What is the real agenda of mRNA injections? And how has free speech censorship been used to install a global medical dictatorship that seems to be targeting the human race for annihilation? We'll answer those questions in Breaking Point Episode 4, Vaccines, on Brighteon.com and other video platforms. To connect with other like-minded, informed individuals on these topics and more, join Brighteon.social, the free speech social media platform for a free humanity. I'm Mike Adams, the founder of Brighteon.com. Thank you for watching and sharing this episode. Almost no one tests their products for glyphosate, but we do at the Health Ranger store. We test for glyphosate for every incoming production lot and finished production batch of products, and we put those symbols right on our website so you know it's been glyphosate tested using an ISO-accredited in-house laboratory, triple quad mass spec instrumentation, sensitive down below one part per billion. We test and confirm that everything is safe and pure and authentic, so that you can trust our products to protect your health. HealthRangerStore.com, over 700 products for healthy living and healthy home. Lab tested, heavy metals, glyphosate, microbiology, and much more. Check it all out at HealthRangerStore.com.